Oh man, yeah. So my family's been like one of those victims of the school year that's dropping like flies. So like our school is just being decimated. So like the parents are like passing around pictures of the classrooms where there's, like 9 or 10 kids or like 12 kids in a 30 kid class, type of a thing, because they're just all of them are out, man. Every single one.
Oh
So
yeah.
it's just
Nah, man, I'm actually doing better on the cold front today than I have been for a little while now, but like it is kind of one of those things. When you're this close to the break, I swear what happens is my body has been fighting off, fighting off, fighting off. And then like mentally, I know the downtime is coming. And so my body's just like, oh, okay, cool, we can relax now. And all of a sudden it's all those horrible, horrible noises. Like breathing all of a sudden is happening at the same decibel level as a jet engine firing up, you know. It's wonderful.
Fantastic, man. I love it. I love having kids in public school. It's my favorite.
I gotta tell you, the Catholic school system is not any more germ-free.
That's true. That's true. Oh, man. All right. Let's hit an intro and jump into it.
Welcome to the podcast, Blue Collar Scholars. Not long ago, a group of brilliant minds met together at a pub to discuss their unfinished works. They recognized the value of coming together around delicious beverages and having meaningful conversations. That group was known as the Inklings. The Inkledoo podcast here, we're working to be the second iteration of that group. So pour yourself a craft beverage, pull up a chair, and join the conversation.
All right. Have you had anything more delicious than NyQuil? That's about
Oh yeah.
about all I've had, really.
Like breathing air has been like no, I did actually so went over to my folks' place this past Sunday and my job to make fudge and all that kind of stuff. That's my contribution. And then went over to our uncle's house. He apparently like rib roasts were on sale, and so I was invited over to eat something good. And never gonna say no to that.
No.
But to go with the beef, I had from that Mother Road pack their limited visibility, the hazy IPA that they do.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in the pack. I hadn't really had it before.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
It was really solid. Like it was, as is often the case with the hazies, a little bit less on the resiny side. Like there's some there, but because you've got some more of the citrus
More
notes and those kinds
juicy.
of things coming through, some of that juicy mouthfeel to it and everything, it really did. It went real well. I would say it was one of those beers though that like could have been dangerous. Fortunately, I didn't have a whole lot with me. But because it was a really easy drinker, it would have been easy to go through, like three or four of them without noticing what was going on. And we've had a weird kind of warm snap where it's back up into like the mid 70s and stuff like that for the highs. And in that kind of weather, with that kind of beer, like, yeah, no, it was a beautiful porch day, no doubt about it.
Yeah, that sounds nice. Yeah, that sounds real good, man. I'm not gonna lie. And I don't even have anything to add to it. So it's just like I'm just like gonna sit here and visualize it and enjoy it myself here for a moment.
Soak it in, soak it in.
Cause yeah, I haven't, sorry, that's gonna be gross in the microphone. I apologize, folks. I haven't had anything. Like, we've literally been drinking like elderberry tea, green tea with elderberry, elderberry and zinc tea, like we have a lot of different variations of different
Your
teas to drink.
mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries. Literally all that's happening in my head at this point. Just the Monty Python knights being taunted by the French
Oh
is
man.
all that's happening when you're talking about
That's
elderberries.
hilarious. So yeah, no, I don't have anything. Well, I don't, I can reach back a little bit. Did I tell you that I got a little espresso machine?
No,
So
you didn't tell me
not
that.
like a fancy one, like nothing big. It was like $100 on Black Friday or something, right? So
Sure.
nothing special. Not even sure it's really espresso. Like it's probably just like miniature mocha pot kind of coffee, But like, but it's enough to start screwing with, right? It's enough to start learning a little bit about espresso and enough to, like, it's got a steam wand so I can froth milk, and things like that, so I can start working on. It's been a long time since I've. What's that?
Do it at home latte kit.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I don't have that yet. That's on my Christmas list, so I might get a fun little kit for that. But it's been a long time since I've like steamed milk and frothed and cappuccinoed and all this. Like I worked Starbucks when I was 20, 21, something like that. So like it's only been 20 years since I've frothed milk for a latte, you know. So figured I didn't need to invest in a giant fancy espresso machine. Sure. So, but yeah, though it's been fun. I got my espresso to taste fair. Like, it's not like I'm not going to go like sell my coffee pot or anything like that right now. Like, I actually find I still like coffee. Like espresso takes me, when I make 2 4-ounce lattes for me and Kristen, there might be 6-ounce lattes. It takes me like 25 minutes to make 2 little cups of coffee. So I'm like, sometimes I'm like, you know what? I don't got time for this.
Today is a quantity kind of day.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a pot that I can.
Yeah, man. And then,
get three or four pours out of.
It makes sense why people still buy coffee at coffee shops. Because, I mean, if you had to do that every day to get your latte, like, nah, not going to do it. It's too much. But, like, but I work at home. And so every once in a while, if I need a break to go downstairs and just break away from the mundane for a little bit, I can make some coffee and it's a good little
bring in a little class to just elevate your day.
Yeah just something to make it not a spreadsheet. So all right, so we started talking last week just kind of about that point of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so I wrote in my blog, I don't know, a week ago or so, about adoption, and I kind of wanted to hash it out a little bit more. And this is me again,
yeah, definitely
using the podcast as my own therapy, because it's you know, like I want to figure it out a little bit better. Like it's a concept I don't really get, and one that I just kind of struggle. Maybe I understand it cerebrally, but have a hard time internalizing it. You know,
sure.
And so to kick it off with a story. I remember back when I was a young, you know, freshly saved zealot, and I was talking to a guy that I worked with, you know, about, hey, you know, I was preaching.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and it was an interesting conversation because he was like, look, if I were to, you know, say I do believe in Jesus and I accept all that stuff, I would at that point say that I'm then equal to him. Because if I'm a son of God, right, and he's a son of God, then we're equals. And I was like, no, that's not right. And he's like, why? And I was like, I don't know, but I know it's not. You know, this was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, obviously, I understand the differences now, but the language, I think, kind of tosses me to where it's like, am I a child of God? If it's a yes, and Jesus is the Son of God, then are we not both children of God? Like, but we're not on the same plane, but we are. Does that make sense? Like, and I think
it's 100%. Probably
just when you start mixing analogies like God the Father, and then you're like all of these different things, you're conveying messages, not necessarily exact. You know, like an analogy is going to break down at some point.
Sure, absolutely. You know,
but
it you. For one thing, like, I do love the idea, though, that, you know, it is kind of a trust your instinct thing. Like, no, that's not right. Why? I don't know. I'm confident. And you were. Like, you were confident and you were right. Like, it is. So, the language of adoption, the other part where this kind of becomes tricky is in kind of a more modern sensibility where it's like, I also want to be careful not to speak too broadly about what adoption does and doesn't mean. Because like, you know, an adopted child in a human sense is every bit a part of the family that like a biological child is. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to accidentally get flippant with the analogy going the other direction and all of a sudden right. be very dismissive of the human element.
Right.
But at the same time, like an adopted child, yes, their place in the family, the reality of that connection, the reality of that bond, all of that is very, very true. But there is still something that is different. You know, like an adopted child is not getting their hair color from their adoptive parent.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like there are differences there. And they,
so really, really
in
quick,
that sense.
On that one, I'm sorry to interrupt, but do you think one of those differences is, does it have to go back to like patriarchal times where you're like talking about inheritances and passing down, like,
oh yeah, definitely.
Like I'm thinking like Jon Snow, right? Where he was like, he was in the Starks, but he wasn't in the Stark, you know, like
right.
he wasn't going to become king.
Exactly. And then it turns out, oh, actually no, he totally could have and had like the most legitimate claim. But no, like that's, to that point though, that is where in like, some of the letters, they specifically use the language of being co-heirs. Like, St. Paul emphasizes this idea. No, 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 no. We're not adopted in the sense of being like a spare child, you know, where the eldest son gets everything and then the second on down or all of the daughters just sort of get whatever scraps happen to be thrown to them.
Right.
No, no, no. We are co-heirs. We are to inherit what is Christ's by birthright has been extended to us. Hmm. But it's been extended to us. It is not ours by right. It is ours by gift. Hmm. And so like that's where kind of going back to that idea of the biological versus adoptive. It's not a question of like the love in the family or the bond in the family being weaker, but it is different. In some ways, on the human level, in some ways, the idea that a person has like decided, you're not my child because you have to be, or because I have to have you mm-hmm. as my child. I am choosing to love you. I see you, I recognize you, and so I make you my own and bring you into this family, and I give these things. When we talk about that adoption as children of God, that's what we're talking about here, is this idea that, no, 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 look, there is no, I don't even want to use the word obligation, there is no necessity that God do this for us. You know, like, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are triune. They are in relationship mm-hmm. perfectly, but perfectly by default. Again, it's not an obligation, but it is like the necessity of their nature that they are in this communion. They choose, and it is they that choose, not just God the Father, not just God the Son, but like the entirety of God chooses to extend that offer, to extend that relationship, to extend that participation to us. And so, no, we're not at the same spot. There is a natural reality, a natural level to the supernatural reality. I don't know. This is all getting very confusing okay. just linguistically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, there is a kind of cause and effect nature by which Jesus Christ is God's son, is the son of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll not be on that level.
Right.
We're never right. going to be there.
Right.
It is purely an act of generosity. Now, that that isn't us being boxed out or kept from something. It's a natural reality of our status as creatures.
Right. Okay.
There was a time when we were not. You know, right. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that's not true for them. So long as there was the Father, there was their Son, there was the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so That's not something that we can simulate. That's not something we can claim. It's not something that can be given to us.
Okay.
And so there will always be that difference in the nature of the relationship.
Right, right. I'm tracking. I'm good.
And so, like, in terms of the guy you worked with, who's like, well,
yeah,
I'm a child of God. Yeah. You are now.
Right.
Now you are a child of God. But you know what? In the same way that, like, you know, you've got your two girls. There's one that was there before the other one.
Right.
It's not that you love the older one more than the younger one, but there is more history with the older one.
Right. Right.
Like, there's just no way around that.
Right. So then, so I like that. That establishes the, like you said, like the necessary difference, like the, by nature, mm-hmm. it's different. So then how do we reconcile terms like co-heir? Like, what is Christ has been given to us? Like, if what he has can't actually be given to us, then how can we be a co- or does that make sense? Or is it just that the nature, is it the things then and not nature? Or like,
well, so I would say that the things that he is, when we talk about being an heir, that's automatically kind of already a superhuman attempt to like put into our understanding what's happening.
Sure.
Because let's think about that idea of being co-heirs. When do you inherit something? When they die. When are we going to inherit something from God the Father who is eternal? Oh, dang it. That ain't going to work. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and so when we think about it, though, like if we think about it more in terms of what is promised to Christ, what is Christ's reward, for lack of a better way to put it, for his relationship with the Father? Heaven. Eternity with him in each other's presence. That perpetual, everlasting exchange of love between those persons. We are co-heirs to that. Like, our experience of that is going to be shorter than Christ's, because even, you know, and I don't want to be presumptive here, but, you know, fingers crossed, I make it and I get to heaven. And so I get to experience that. I will be everlasting in that relationship, uh-huh. but I'm not eternal in it.
Right. Right.
And so, like, I'm still getting it. I'm still getting what was promised to him. But I am never going to have as much of it.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. And that...
Well, and I
like the relational aspect of it. It seems like you had a thought, like, before I derail us, I want you to finish your thought.
Okay. Because, like, so the kind of the only other thing that comes up when we talk about inheritance and why where it gets sticky is, like, if you were to leave everything that you have to your oldest daughter, that would, by necessity, mean that your youngest daughter was getting nothing from you. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were literally giving everything to your oldest, your youngest would get nothing. And again, that's the human reality of inheritance. Just like God doesn't die, and so, like, there is no opportunity to inherit, and yet we still get things, there's also no limit to it. Like, because God is infinite, he actually can give all that he is to everyone without it diminishing what anyone is getting.
Prodigal son kind of stuff, where he, like, kind of gives him the inheritance while he's still alive.
Yeah, and not only that, though, but also, like, an inexhaustible one.
Right.
Like, in the prodigal son, the son goes away and wastes everything that he inherited. Yeah. Like, imagine being able to, like, drop $3 billion on the street, just lose it, and discover that, oh, but here's another $3 billion in my pocket. Like, inexhaustible. Because we are finite and God is infinite, even if he pours out all that he is to me, he will not be diminished and I will be completely filled.
Yeah.
And so, like, that inheritance, I'm not obviously going to, I mean, I will argue with Paul every now and then just because he makes my life difficult. And so I want to argue with him, but, like, I don't disagree with the choice of the word co-heir. I just think it's one of those things where on those couple of levels, it's important for us to acknowledge kind of the limitations of that word, like what it means for us to inherit and the fact that it's not a competitive thing.
Yeah. Right. So just to get wacky here, we're talking about co-heirs, could the what we received as an heir be the Holy Spirit? And that, like, I'm thinking, you know, Jesus is baptized, Holy Spirit comes down like a dove, he dies, is resurrected, and we are given the Holy Spirit at that time. Could that be the inheritance? I mean, not like, I know it's just kind of maybe just a fun thought experiment, but
I think 100% that's part of it. And I think we can see that even in, you know, Christ's language as he is returning to heaven, when he says he's going to send an advocate to us, that we will not be left orphans. Like as Christ leaves, the Spirit is given to us. And so there's no doubt that on some level, the Holy Spirit is the inheritance. But at the risk of sounding greedy, it's not just the Holy Spirit that is the inheritance. Like Christ also gives us his very self. We're given the Father, you know, we're taught by Christ to call him our Father.
Right.
You know, in the Old Testament, he is the God of our fathers. And now in the New Testament, he is our Father.
Right. And like, yeah, my thought is that.
So we're given the entirety of God.
Right.
As our inheritance. The Holy Spirit, I would say in our, obviously I have no insights into what our inheritance looks like in heaven.
Sure.
You know, I hope to know someday, fingers crossed. But like in terms of our life here on earth, I would say the Holy Spirit is probably the most readily available, accessible, and like sort of present aspect of that inheritance for us. You know, that again, because when we're baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit. In confirmation, it is strengthened, it is made firme, it is with strength.
Yeah.
And so, like, this idea that the Holy Spirit is with us in the day-to-day, you know, that is how God is with us, is through the Holy Spirit being with us.
Right, right, which is kind of what got me thinking there is that, one, you were talking about how the inheritance is the, like, the communal love of Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together. And I was like, oh, like, we have our love with God the Father, and it's through the Holy Spirit, right? Like, mm-hmm. Like, it's always been hard to say, but like everything that we do to the Father is through the Holy Spirit. So like, I know this is like, it's an advocate and these things where it's, we sometimes view the Holy Spirit as outside of us and helping, or like a good intrusive thought, you know, but,
yeah.
But I think it's like, actually, I've always kind of pictured it like a checkerboard where we were like just the black squares, and then the Holy Spirit kind of like completes the board with the, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, we're like black squares with holes, and then it's like filled in, and now it's a complete square. And so like the Holy Spirit is one, the adoption papers, right? It's the signature that says, hey, you're mine now. Right.
Yeah.
But then also everything that we do with the Father, with Christ, is all through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, if that relationship, that love, the worship, the all of the gifts of the Spirit, again, using that there, all comes from the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. Like, that seems like that's the thing that gets us the inheritance. Like we might not be able to, like, if we got into heaven without the Holy Spirit, which is not possible,
right,
like, you wouldn't be able to access it because it's all through that. So, like, I'm wondering if that, like, is there any more inheritance than the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? Like, it is the Trinity by.
Yeah, that's so. Talking about the Trinity always gets tricky,
right? Like,
If we talk too much in depth about the Trinity, we're definitely going to be heretics on accident.
Yeah, nobody write this down. Like,
yeah, no, like maybe I'll put a disclaimer on the podcast when it goes up. But no, like I'm definitely not going to. But like, I think it's one of those things, like the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son, they are all God, and they're also individual persons. Mm-hmm. And so like, I mm-hmm. don't want to like blend the three of them or go into that like modalism correct. Idea where
absolutely.
It's all the same person and we just experience them differently. But I will say that I still very much agree with your idea that it's not like there's more than the Holy Spirit, at least in the sense that God is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Holy Spirit is infinite. We can't go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in general, one of the things that I always kind of struggle with, and I try very hard to be intentional about it, in those moments where I'm trying hard and being intentional about anything, which, you know, let's be honest, could happen more. But like the Holy Spirit is undoubtedly the most directly involved aspect of the Trinity, the most actively involved person of the Trinity mm-hmm. in our lives here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's very, very clearly stated right. throughout scripture that is the case.
Right.
And yet the Holy Spirit is often kind of the forgotten third person of the Trinity.
I know.
And it's because we talk about God the Father, and I've got a very clear vision of what Father mm-hmm. is. Now, granted, there are flaws in that.
Mm-hmm.
And even more so for people who have significantly more kind of complicated or problematic relationships with their father than I mm-hmm. do. So there are flaws to that idea, but it's at least an image that makes sense to
sure.
me. When I think about Christ as God the Son and the nature of that relationship, that totally makes sense
yep.
to me.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit, on the other hand, like, look at the way we encounter the Holy Spirit. If you go back to the Old Testament and like put it on the burning bush, and then at the baptism of Christ where it's like a dove, mm-hmm. and then at Pentecost where it's like tongues as of fire and a rushing wind and all of these kinds of things, the Holy Spirit is kind of everything and nothing all at once.
Yeah.
And that's also kind of the way the Holy Spirit works in us. You know, like God the Father is perpetually outside of us in terms of the imagery.
Mm-hmm.
Like God the Father is the creator. He is, you know, like obviously intimately involved in our lives.
Right.
But as someone who we go to, who we mm-hmm. pray to, Christ came down and walked amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a visible reality, you know. Did he look exactly like the various images of him on the crucifixes and things like that? Probably not. I mean, definitely not, because they all look so different from one another. But like, that's not the point. He looked human.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a clearly defined, this is Christ and nothing else is. Whereas the Holy Spirit is this spirit, this breath. Mm-hmm. Like the word in Latin for spirit and breath is the same. It's the anima. And like that animating principle, it is the source of life. And so like going all the way back to the book of Genesis, when it says that God breathed into humanity, that breath of life, mm-hmm. that divine life that gives us our divine spark, that unique place in creation. Like that's the Holy Spirit being given to us even back then mm-hmm. in order to make us the image and likeness of God. But because it's an internal thing, because of that, I can't really imagine it. It's hard for me to talk to it.
Yeah.
And yet, like you said earlier, anytime that I'm praying, anytime that I am sincerely praying, I am praying to God the Father in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Like my words convey, to the extent that my prayer actually conveys what is happening internally in me, and that God is hearing me and that I am hearing God, the extent to which that happens is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The amount of that that I miss, because in my stupid human monkey brain, I can only get so far. That's my failing. There's so much more that the Holy Spirit is trying to give me.
Right. Right. And that's what you gain when you accept and, you know, all of those things. And so, again, like, I don't think that it is, like, I'm not trying to write a book here to be like, hey, this is what your inheritance is. But, like, I just thought it was an interesting, like, there was some of the word choices. Because, again, it's all word choice. We're trying to take the infinite. We're trying to put it into words that we can make sense of. And that's where I've always struggled is that, you know, like, how am I a child of God wherein I am so different than the Son of God, right? So, like, if he's the Son, which is a child, and I am so drastically different, how can I then be that thing? And I think, you know, that's, you know, if I'm heading into a life lesson, I think these things are worth, my life lesson is just wrestling with these hard topics. Again, like, pick one that you want to know more about, dig into it and then wrestle with it, because it's worth it, you know, and because adoption is such a big deal. Like, if I can get my mind wrapped around the idea that I am actually a child of God, what that does for my own self-image, my own self-talk, how I go about my day, how I manage my life, like, that changes a lot of things. And so these topics, these principles, these words that we pick at, they're not just words. I mean, they're your identity. It's how you function as a person. And so, you know, understanding a word like adopted or child of God, understanding what that actually means is not a small thing. It's reframing your entire identity, you know?
Absolutely. And, like, I would kind of build on that, because that's essentially kind of where I was going as well, is this idea of it's not just for my understanding. It's the reason my understanding matters is not just for my sake, but for the sake of everyone I encounter. Mm. If I can wrap my head around the fact that the infinite perfection, which is God, has decided I am worth loving, how much confidence does that give me? And not arrogance, but, like, actual legitimate confidence. No, I have value. I have dignity. I have worth. And because I have those things, I don't need to prove those things. And instead, I can just demonstrate those things. Just be who he made me to be, recognize who he made others to be, love that goodness, that value, that worth in them. And, like, again, this idea that the inheritance is coming from one who is infinite means that I'm not in competition.
Mm, that's big.
Like, the fact that I am adopted and you're adopted and they're adopted and they're adopted, the fact that, like, God's desire is to adopt all of his creation.
There's enough to go around.
The fact that that is his desire doesn't diminish my inheritance.
Yeah.
I am in no way poorer for it. In fact, in this really weird, divinely twisted way, I am made richer by the more people who share in this inheritance.
Yeah.
Because ultimately what I'm inheriting is relationship. And so the more people who are able to be part of that relationship, the more people who are entering into that relationship with the triune God who I'm able to connect with, oh my gosh. I mean, we're very fortunate. We've got a fairly close, large family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is the highlight of my childhood, is the cousins and aunts and uncles and my sister and, like, but the fact that it's just so expansive. Think about eternity.
Yeah.
Like, think about eternity with billions upon billions of brothers and sisters who we get to share that blessing of family with, all centered around our perfect Father,
mm-hmm.
His Son, and the Holy Spirit, this perfect relationship that we're invited into.
Yeah.
Man, that's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
I really hope I get there.
That's big. That's like, it's funny because it makes me think of, like, my own girls, where I'm constantly telling them, you know, hey, because I complimented that one, it doesn't take something away from you. Like there's not, I'm not taking from you to give to her. Like there is enough for everybody to have everything. And then as I'm teaching them this stuff, because I want them to have a good relationship, I'm like, boy, like we're not in competition, man. There is plenty to go around. It's just find your thing and do it. You know, like you don't have to try to take from anybody else. There's plenty. That's big. I like that a lot. So I did not renew our business license for next year. So
bum, bum, bum,
bum, bum, bum. So if you would like to purchase some coffee to support some meaningful conversations, now would be the time to do it. Just so you know, we are probably looking at the new year. I don't know how long it'll take us, but we're chewing on a new format, like just kind of refreshing it. We've been doing this for over 5 years now. So
yeah.
I think it's time for a facelift. And we're going to keep going. But if you would like to get any Inkledew coffee, jump on that website, buy a couple bags, roast fresh, ship it to you.
Limited edition now.
There you go. That is it. Got anything else on your brain there, man?
You know, just that everyone have a Merry Christmas.
Yes.
You know, we're talking about this idea of being adopted. Our brother's coming.
There it is, man.
Let's get ready.
Fantastic. All right. With that, we will say
adieu.